This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, Jesus appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where Jesus himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a house, a town, and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. For the last few months, I have been attending meetings with Together New Orleans. And during the meetings, we almost always take time to break into small groups and share with one another the issues that matter to us. And when we do this, we hear from one another the things that keep us up at night: our worries, our fears, our anxieties. I heard from one woman how much she cares about public safety, because after the breakout, she could hear choppers flying over her neighborhood for hours and hours and hours, and she was terrified. I heard from another woman her grief, because her grandson is graduating from college, and he wants to stay in New Orleans to be near her, but there are no jobs for him here. In our Together New Orleans meetings, we often take time to share with one another these fears and these worries, these burdens. And as a person of faith, I really appreciate that we take the time to do this. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he tells them to bear one another's burdens. When another member of the community is struggling, is afraid, is worried, is in need of help, we are called to bear those burdens with them. To Paul, this is an expectation of the family of faith. Followers of Christ need to bear one another's burdens. But how can we bear those burdens if we do not know what they are? That's why I love that we share with one another during these Together New Orleans meetings. In a room full of people that I don't really know, I am given the opportunity to bear others' burdens. I get to know them. I get to pray for them. I get to understand the things that matter to them. And I get to work on the issues that make a difference in their lives. I get to bear their burdens because we take the time to share those burdens. For how can we bear one another's burdens if we don't know what those burdens are? That's one of the reasons that I supported having the Pride worship service last Sunday, which, believe it or not, was not my idea. And when it was first proposed, I was the person in the room that said, well, not so fast. Let's really think this one through. I wanted to think about it, because I knew it would make some of you uncomfortable. But after a lot of prayer and discussion, I felt strongly that it was the right thing to do. Because although it would make some uncomfortable, it was an opportunity to really share some of the burdens that members of our community bear. The issues that impact the LGBTQIA2+ community have a direct impact on a number of our church members, on their children, on their families and their friends. And sometimes these issues can even have a life-threatening impact. These are real burdens that our members bear. They're fears that keep them up at night. So I wanted to give our family of faith an opportunity to hear these burdens. Pray about them. Learn about them. For how can we bear one another's burdens if we don't know what they are? We don't listen. We don't meet one another with generosity, understanding, compassion. This is why the week before the Pride service, we prayed for members of our military. Knowing that I had been on vacation and probably had not been reading the news, and I had not been, a church member brought to my attention what had happened in Iran. And he shared his fear for his own family and friends who were deployed. The burden that he bears. So we prayed in worship so all of us could listen, seek to understand a burden that a church member bears so we can bear one another's burdens. That's why today we prayed for those who have been affected by this flood. Because even though we might not be directly impacted, we are impacted by the trauma that disasters like that bring up in us. Especially here in this place, those histories of trauma, whenever a disaster like that occurs, raise our own anxieties and fears about what has happened to our families and our homes in the past. That's why today I ask that we all pray for the people who are worried as certain bills pass that they will no longer have health care. They're worried about how they're going to afford medical care, how they'll pay for the prescriptions that might be keeping them alive. This is a burden that we bear. But if we never share these burdens with one another, how can we bear them for one another? My siblings, Paul makes it clear that his expectation for a family of faith is that we bear one another's burdens. But how can we bear them if we don't know what they are? We have to share these burdens with one another. In our gospel, when Jesus sends out the 72, he tells them that if there is any community that does not meet them with generosity, understanding, and compassion, they should do this. Go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. And then Jesus, he takes it up a notch. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Clearly, Jesus' hope is that his disciples will be met with generosity and understanding and compassion as they go out into the world to bear others' burdens. We are called by Jesus to meet one another with generosity, understanding, and compassion. When we share our burdens with one another, that is how they should be met, with generosity, understanding, and compassion. So today, I want us to share our burdens with one another, for how can we bear one another's burdens if we don't know what they are? In the pews are pieces of paper and writing utensils. Thank you for not tripping on any of our cups full of writing utensils yet. And in a moment, I want you to write down your burdens. And if you want to write them down in the form of a prayer request, you're welcome to do so. Because after you write, we're going to pass around baskets to collect these prayers. And then I'm going to shuffle all of the prayers up. And when you come up for communion, you will receive someone else's prayers. You're going to receive someone else's burdens. And I ask that you meet that burden, that prayer, with generosity, understanding, and compassion. Pray for that burden this week. If it relates to a particular issue, then learn about that issue. Bear someone else's burdens. And so let me be clear, we're going to pass these out to other people. So if you, you do not need to put your name on these, all right? If you want this to be anonymous, please let it be so. And if you want to write more than one burden, write it on more than one piece of paper. And I will make sure that they are sort of distributed equitably, okay? Take time today, in the next couple minutes, to really think about what are the burdens that you carry. What are the fears that you have? Is there a grief that you carry? Is there an anxiety that keeps you up at night? What is a burden that you bear that could be shared with someone else? So you don't bear that burden alone. Because if there is one thing that is made clear in Scripture, it is that we are not called to bear our burdens alone. We're called to bear them together. So take some time and write what those burdens are. And again, you do not need to put your name on here. And if you have more than one, I encourage you to use more than one piece of paper. My siblings, we all bear burdens. And sometimes they are the burdens of our health, the health of a family member or a friend. Sometimes they're the burdens of the ways that the world around us affect our safety, our stability, our finances. Sometimes they are the ways that places far off affect the safety of people we care about. Sometimes it's just because our world has disasters that come out of nowhere. We bear burdens, but we do not bear them alone. Paul makes it very clear that in the family of faith, he expects us to bear one another's burdens. Jesus makes it clear that his hope is that burdens are met with generosity, understanding, compassion. But my siblings, how can we bear these burdens? How can we meet them with generosity, understanding, and compassion if we don't know what these burdens are? We must share them. Amen.